Tonight, Pretty Late favorite Dr. Charles Turk rides sidecar once again. And later, she'll continue to set the Pretty Late appearance record for a musician as Tess Considine performs in studio. Finally, it's Friday, so of course we'll play What's in the Box and get a weekend windup. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
I think everyone should do that every Friday. Like at some point in the day, just, you know, maybe you do it all the time anyway, but it's Friday. It feels good. I hope it feels good for everybody else. You feel good, Craig?
I love that food that you just gave me.
I gave you some from Emilio's Tapas.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish food.
I'm eating a poqueto.
A croqueta.
Okay.
All right, then. Jamón con pollo y jamón.
Mm-hmm.
It's ham and chicken.
This is delicious.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It was tasty.
It was like a mozzarella stick, but with meat in it.
With meat. We'll save a couple for Mr. Rob Martier when he comes down.
No, I'm going to eat those.
Oh, and have jambone in it?
Jambone. I don't know what that is. Jambone?
It sounds like ham. Is it ham?
Jamón? Yes.
Jamón?
It is ham.
Man,
it sounds... Are you happy that it's Friday?
Oh, indeed.
Isn't it? Like, it's just like the muscles in my neck feel like they're relaxing a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know some people are just starting their work. You know, they work the weekends. I've worked weekends for 20 years, so I know. But still, I think because everybody else is in a good mood, I feel like I'm in a good mood when I'm working on Fridays.
When you have a weekend completely off, how does that feel?
Weird.
Yeah, really weird,
and
right?
And I go out and I hit it too hard. I do. There have been nights where I've gone to see Vamp. You know, Brandon C. Price's show over at MCL. And the next thing I know, it's like 4 a.m. I'm hanging out like with a bunch of people.
To be fair, though, they like drink and hang out while they perform. So that kind of seems like, you know, that's encouraged.
It's a little crazy. I'm not young enough anymore. Like me and Elliot and Esmeralda one time were just in a kitchen. It was like being at a college party. The place is just packed with all these young people. And we were like holding up the wall going, I don't even know why we're here. It was fun.
But did you do a keg stand?
Oh, my God. I've never done a keg stand.
Wow.
Have you done a keg stand?
Of course.
No, I don't even know. Why?
I had to do kegs and eggs in the morning for football games.
Were you going to, like, the the Dr. Seuss school
of fun? Yeah, we had to do kegs and eggs.
Kegs and eggs?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And you did a keg race, so you had...
So you would do a keg stand, and like, was it scrambled eggs, hard-boiled eggs?
You could have your choice. Eggs could be made to your preference, but you would have eggs, and then you'd have to finish a keg with your team before the other team did. That's a keg race.
Oh, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
That was terrible.
Were there guys just yipping all over the place?
Yeah, there were a lot of people doing a lot. Yeah, because you could puke and rally.
You can't, right, that's how you get ready for the next bout.
Right, well, and also for the game, because eventually you do want to pay attention to a football game.
No, I don't know why anybody
would do that part.
Rob Martier, have you ever done a keg stand?
No.
Never?
Never. No.
That's really surprising, actually.
I've helped.
You've held people up.
Okay, so what's the point of doing a handstand on a keg and drinking beer upside down?
I'm confused by the question.
Is it like to make you drunk, or like, do you guys think the beer goes to your head faster?
There's something just about it, like the feeling of it. Have you ever anywhere where you got like soda from the machine or anything, just wanted to put your head in there?
Never.
Put
like
your
a
head
garden
on the tap. Yeah,
like garden
just drink
hose,
right from the tap.
That's because that's all the water there was outside.
Right. Well, okay. So
the rusty, nasty outdoor garden hose.
That same idea of drinking from the garden hose as an adult with beer.
That's the only way to drink from the garden hose. But when you're when you have a keg party, presumably you
have
cups.
Yeah, but then like everybody else chants and you do it for like a certain amount of time.
Now, I'm posing all these questions, having also been somebody who's bonged a beer.
There you go. Yeah. And that's right. Has Rob bonged a beer?
I don't know if you say it that way.
But I was upright.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were upright.
Have you shotgunned one?
No. I never understood that either. I don't know why I bonged the beer either.
What do you mean you don't understand shotgunning a beer? I don't know why she's doing...
Drinking from the bottom of the can, right?
People outside are doing like silly...
Now that we have children out there listening to us talk about these horrible things we do.
Yeah,
in
kids,
college,
don't do any of this when you go to college. Drink beer at all.
No.
Just study
horrible,
at home.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got a phone
telephone.
Call.
That's Dr. Charles Turk probably coming in. It's very exciting. I know it's a bad influence. Do you get worried about that, Rob? That the things that you've done, you know, even just talking about it now that your kids will hear that the kinds of things that Dad did, and he's like, "Why is he being so mean to us?" He was doing beer bongs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know.
And they hear the stories and they laugh and they think it's funny and you know, and then I give them the hairy eyeball and just say, you know, do as I say, not as I've done.
That's right. Don't do my mistakes just because I did something that's untoward.
Let me save you from my mistakes.
All of my mistakes while I'm sipping this lovely glass of bourbon.
Now, I'm assuming as Dr. Charles Turk sits down that he has for sure done a keg stand.
I don't know that Dr. Charles
I don't
Turk
know why
a,
I think
is
that
is
he
a,
has.
Is someone that would do a handstand on a keg.
I feel that he's done a keg stand.
He seems a bit more
that.
Sophisticated, but I wouldn't
I
be surprised.
I agree with that. I agree right. with the sophistication theory, yes.
Really? Well, but he's definitely shotgunned a beer. He's definitely done all the other stuff. So it's just one more step to keg stand one.
Well, okay, so shotgunning a beer, right? So that's yeah. a, it just because it quickly, that just takes out the tube and the funnel for the beer bonging. Is
correct.
Pretty
yeah.
much the same
pretty
idea.
Pretty much the same idea.
But just a lot messier.
Yeah,
because you
lot
have to
messier.
Put your mouth over the hole.
Yeah.
Right.
I got to mark that.
I don't think we were on Nick D's out of context last night. I think because everything we say is so randy, it's like, why bother with our show anymore? It's like they're like, they submit the whole show and then poor Dan Chagrou has to parcel out all the words. He's like, I don't have time for this kind of stuff. Joining us in studio is Dr. Charles Turk. And I apologize. I forgot that security has now has people signing waivers. I completely forgot about that. So in order to join us in the studio and park first, they have you kind of jump through a few hoops. Are you all set?
Almost.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much.
I can't remember how to adjust. Oh, here we go.
There you go. Yeah,
yes. Oh, that's much better.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Those are nice headphones. I think those are new from last time.
Oh, they are. I've gotten noise isolating and noise canceling headphones. New ones.
So now we have to know, have you ever done a keg stand?
No.
No.
Nope.
Have you ever, what was it, shotgunned a beer?
No. Let me cut you off right there. I hate beer.
Oh, there's that. I don't know why you maybe.
So, think about your questions carefully.
But you've had shots of booze before.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then.
Oh, yeah.
Here, Tim has something he wanted to join the conversation with. Hey, Tim, what do you want to tell
us? Hey, how are you?
Very well. How are you doing?
Talk to the 1980 Daytona Beach beer guzzling champion.
And what does one win?
Hold on. He deserves
yes.
a quick round of applause.
And we're
way
bowing
to go.
As well.
Thank you.
I think we should also
bow
for you. Okay, first.
At every bar that I went to, I won a Marlboro t-shirt, believe it or not. I don't even smoke.
Oh, my. Well, and they were handing those things out, weren't they?
My friends were so envious of me that one night they pulled a really neat trick on me.
What do they do?
We ordered a pitcher. We ordered shots to go around. I decided, well, I better go empty out my leg. Bathroom. I come back getting ready to guzzle the pitcher, and these guys already did the shots.
Oh, man.
So the pitcher, guzzle the pitcher down, beat my old record of 12 seconds. I did like 11.5 seconds. Now, these are the old pitchers where they're actually like a bucket of beer. And I had memory for about 10 minutes. And after that, I had to rely on everything they told me the
wow.
next day, and it was pretty heinous. They decided to throw these six shots into the pitcher.
Oh.
Oh, that's not
what?
Nice, Tim. Tim, though, can I ask you?
I got in a fight with a girl about steroids. I accused her of being on steroids.
Sure.
Nice.
That makes sense.
Good way to make friends.
She might have been on steroids.
Threw me in the pool, and I wouldn't come out.
Oh, that could be dangerous.
Yeah,
see?
That's always, course, you don't want to trap yourself in stuff.
No.
We had a 1980s trick van with the carpet in the back and everything, and
oh,
we finally picked up four or five girls. And when they asked, "Where are you all from?" they said that I abruptly got up on the back bed and yelled out, "Chicago!" and did a Linda Blair all over everybody.
Oh,
that part's not good.
Tim sounds like a cautionary tale for what not to do on spring break.
Tim, how did you wake up the next morning? When you woke up, like where
at
were
all.
You?
Did you wake up the next morning?
Scary. I didn't know where I was. I was in the middle of the hotel room, naked, wrapped up in a blanket.
That sounds about right.
Whose blanket?
In the afternoon.
Did you recognize the blanket?
It was from one. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
One of the guys was nice enough to give me a blanket.
That was awesome.
That was generous of him.
I looked out the window, and there they are. They're all sitting around me. This is our first night there. They're all sitting around the pool getting tan. So I swore off drinking for a day.
A day? Oh. you don't go at it like that anymore, do you?
No.
No.
I'll do it every once in a while on a dare.
On
somebody will say, you can't possibly guzzle a pitcher in 1.2 seconds or a glass in 1.5 seconds. And
they don't know who they're talking to.
Could you just do it with water? You just say, here, give me a pitcher. This is what it would look like if it were beer, but I can do it with water. No, it's got to be
I can do it with anything, just about.
The 1980 Daytona beer guzzling champion does not guzzle water.
I'm just saying,
a beer only.
But to stay on his game, in case he's asked to do the pitcher,
do you
any sort of, limbering up for that kind of thing? Stay in
God
shape.
God only gave me so many guzzles, and I'm not going to waste it on
Oh, that's a good point.
Tim,
I'm approaching senior citizenism now, so.
Tim, why only 1980? Did you not go back in 1981? And what were you doing in 1979?
Were you restrained from it?
Are you barred once you've won once?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, no, we just didn't make it to going back. Graduated and went into the real world then.
Got it.
Yeah, it comes up less often. The beer guzzling comes up less often in the real. Well, I mean,
and it
is
depends. Daytona.
Yeah, it's almost encouraged. We had similar experiences in South Padre. Thank you so much, Tim. Congratulations.
Hey,
on.
Not a problem. Thank you guys for being on the radio.
I hope they have your picture there somewhere down in Daytona. Of course. Have a great night. More after this on 720 WGN. I forgot to ask you about butt chugging. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We have joining us Dr. Charles Turk. He's the CEO and co-founder of CME Scientia. I haven't said it in so long, I'm losing track of what it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Everybody.
I said it right like a long time ago.
Oh, you did. You did. You used to be a pro at saying
it. I did. You say it.
Sensual CME. Scientia CME.
Scientia CME.
No, that's okay. By the end of the night, we will be calling it Sensual CME.
All right. That's a whole new company.
But Scientia CME is what it is at this hour.
Which is a continuing medical education
company.
If you are in the medical profession, you can keep your certification up. The various ways in which you... I'm sorry. I'm watching Charles arrange. Do you have sock garters as well? He has his smoking jacket.
No, spats.
Oh, you have spats. Okay. Because I believe Michelle L'Amour said that she would also like to see you sans pants in the smoking jacket with sock garters.
What's she up to tonight?
She actually was performing Naked Girls Reading.
Do we all get to vote on whether or not Dr. Charles wears pants?
She didn't say it had to be in our studio.
Okay, good.
She was just saying she wanted to see him that
Wonderful.
Way.
Yes. I see.
I think that works out.
Well, Naked Girls Reading, I think, was going on at 8 o'clock in the evening. Am I not mistaken?
Yes. I don't know where she is right now.
I was going to say, it's 11, it's 20 past, 23 past.
Are you putting out a call? I don't know that we can do a Michelle L'Amour signal. That would be like a kiss.
I forget. What
like
is it, what is AP? B stand for
All Points Bulletin.
Oh, okay. I want to put out an APB. I still don't know what All Points Bulletin means, but I still want to put out an APB.
How about a bolo?
A bolo? I'll put out a YOLO.
YOLO. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'll put out a YOLO in an APB for Michelle L'Amour et al.
I think that there's something we haven't discussed. We didn't discuss it last night because we decided during the interview, without actually saying anything to each other, Craig, that we would not discuss Leslie Zemeckis' family. Because
Correct,
we kind of learned it during the show. It was
oh nice. It was very honest.
But tonight, when I was at Naked Girls Reading, mm-hmm. she wrote a book called Goddess Incarnate about Lily St. Clair. And there was a Q&A at the end asking questions about the history of burlesque. She also wrote the book Burly Q. They read some great stories from those books, as well as other women, goddesses and courtesans, actually, in Paris. But during the Q&A, there were some great questions. And then somebody asked, hey, could you ask your husband to make Back to the Future movie again? Could you do one of the... It's Robert Zemeckis' wife was in our
studio.
Yeah,
not cool, bro.
Leslie, huh?
Leslie Zemeckis. Yes.
Okay, I noticed her last name because you listed her in the photo. And mm-hmm. I mean, certainly that's not everybody has that last name. It's not as common as, I guess, Smith or Jones.
No.
Real quick, what is Dr. Charles drinking?
Moscato.
Did he bring a glass?
I did actually. I mean, these are really large pockets.
He has a smoking jacket. He brought his own glass.
I mean, yes, I've got a cigarette
holder. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, these pockets fit cigarette holders and glasses of Moscato. Yes. As I'm driving.
Yes.
And I can also text while I drive too.
That's amazing.
Yes, exactly. So yeah.
It's probably not safe.
No, it's not. It's not.
Not encouraged.
It doesn't stop me from doing it. And driving with glasses of Moscato.
Well, that's amazing.
So yeah. So anyway. So yeah. Let's put out that APB
on Michelle L'Amour and her friends.
I prefer the idea of getting a bat signal for Michelle L'Amour.
I agree.
A L'Amour signal.
Did you see how she came into exited the stairwell on Michigan Avenue with such a flurry of grace and sensuality? It was wonderful.
She's the kind of person that I always figure during the day there's like animals kind of right behind her, just like sort of following her and music playing.
Well, apparently in one of her burlesque performances, she does do a panther act. So there's a cage involved.
Interesting.
Yes. She says she has to travel with a panther cage and a shower are some of the things in her trunks.
Oh, gosh.
I'm confused. She travels with a whole shower?
With a whole shower.
Wow.
Well, they were talking about Lily St. Clair, who had to travel with a claw-footed bathtub.
Right.
That was part of her act.
Yeah,
as well.
That's totally different. That's normal.
Wow. I think I grew up with a claw-footed bathtub. I mean... mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a traveling claw-footed bathtub. I mean, it was fairly stationary. I couldn't move.
Imagine packing that thing every time you left for the weekend.
Wow.
I just need my iPad, like my eye cover, you know, I have a satin sleep mask.
I like that Dr. Charles is also clearing his throat a lot. You seem very regal right now, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I don't know if you're aware.
My ascot, and I don't know, the studio's never seen me wear one of my magnifying glasses either. I mean, nor spats.
I thought that was a monocle, actually.
A monocle.
It looks close, but there is a difference, and I think, or at least I think.
Well, the monocle, you can actually place it in the eye socket, sort of.
Yeah, that's more
of a socket, but at least the.
And this is more so for, you know, I guess reading of menus and that kind of thing. It truly is a magnifying glass.
Yes.
From the 214, Dr. Charles Turk is the Thurston Howell III of the Patty Vasquez Show.
This is true.
Oh,
that makes sense. I think that's absolutely appropriate.
Love it. Oh,
he's a pharmacist by trade.
Yep.
And again, the founder and CEO of Sanchez CME, Continuing Medical Education Company. And actually was one of the catalysts from our guest for introducing us to the owners of Evelay. We'll have to ask them how to pronounce it.
I was going
to
say.
Elevel. I got it.
That was my guess.
Elevel. It's a medical marijuana dispensary in Highland Park. We're going to talk to them after the news. But first, let's listen to these. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Dr. Charles Turk, who is our pharmacist expert on the show. And a few weeks ago, we were out in Highland Park, and we actually swung by Elevel, which is Highland Park's very first medical marijuana dispensary. Is that correct, Andy Hunt, the owner and CEO of Elevel?
Yes. Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing very well. When did you open?
We opened up last week, the 23rd, actually.
Congratulations on starting a new business. It's not always easy to do. And I was wondering, what was your what was the impetus for this? What got you into the medical marijuana industry?
Well, I was a trader at the board for 30 or so years or so, and I was retired. And a friend of mine called me and asked me if I wanted to invest in a marijuana dispensary. It was an interesting concept. I thought the idea was, I knew it would be a great business opportunity probably, but as I started going through it, I realized I was the only investor. So,
oh, no. So somebody asked you if you wanted to, and you're like, sure, let's see who else is in. Oh, no one, just me. Okay.
All the rest.
I guess I'm putting up all the money. So my wife and I decided this was, you know, something we could consider. We looked into it. I mean, look, it's an amazing, I don't know what to say. It's the cannabis business. The cannabis industry is doing a lot of good, and we figured that out after we started looking into it. I hadn't been even thinking about this 2 years ago. So
you didn't have much of an opinion one way or the other, or did you kind of side more with medical marijuana as an option for people who are in pain and need treatment?
Definitely sided with people who needed treatment. I did not realize it worked for pain. I was completely blown away when I started reading some of the verbatims from other states where patients were talking about getting off painkillers. I really thought it was for glaucoma, nausea, and appetite. I mean, the kind of stuff that just would be associated with out here in Illinois. I didn't have a lot of exposure to the legal cannabis industry prior to my, you know, beginning this business.
I imagine that what you knew probably was pretty much what you had heard just, from what you had learned, floating around the media, just, again, from what, I guess, what you knew from other states' experience, not more than, I guess, anybody else at that point.
Right. I was not a fan of the legal rollout in Colorado. I have kids. My wife and I, we're like, this is pictures of, you know, pot smokers in the park. I mean, the stock media photography just kind of was, that just doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there was quite a bit of stigma attached to this, and living up in the North Shore, it was people looked at me kind of strangely, and I still think they do. Why would you do this? You can't, you know, what are you up to? You're selling drugs.
Well, I think many people think it's very forward thinking because, it would be the same. I mean, comparing the legalization of pot, as far as for recreational use, I think other people would say, no, this is medical marijuana, cannabis used for pain and for illnesses, epilepsy. It would be like saying, well, we should just make opioids available for recreational use. But there are painkillers and there's treatment, and this is an option. So I do, in one way, I do want to thank you for being somebody who is willing to put their own, money where their mouth is and get into the industry because people need it in your part of the state.
Yeah, well, you know, it really, I can say, we've only been open 10 days, and talking to patients has been a real eye-opening experience. I did some of that, but when you really hear these folks, I mean, these are people who are taking medication to counteract the side effects of their medication.
Right.
And you're like, you're like, wow. I mean, unbelievable. And so I think doctors are opening up their eyes. I mean, I really do. And I think you're right. It is something that's, in 5 years, we'll be wondering, why was this ever a big deal? I hope.
Do you get a sense that there is pushback? There is, you know, from the pharmaceutical industry, or are they starting to get on board as well?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because there was recently a story about a pharmaceutical company out of the UK that's just producing a cannabis-based drug for epilepsy. Now, we know that there are cannabis oils that work for epilepsy, if you've heard of Charlotte's Web or some of these other things. I mean, famous story, I think 60 Minutes did a story on it. So, but yes, they are rolling out pharmaceutical versions, and yet in an organic version, cannabis is still limited by the federal government. So yeah, it's kind of strange. I think pharmaceutical industry is probably pretty far away from getting too involved, though.
And, you know, I know one of the things that's also a big drawback is that the governor's office, Governor Rauner's office, has kind of restricted the progress of what qualifies for medical marijuana. How do you handle the lack of support from the governor's office?
I just take it in stride. I mean, I didn't expect that, Governor Rauner would be a big supporter of it. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I may be alone in the industry in Illinois. I understand his point of view. I mean, his reason for not extending the program, for example, was, well, look, we need to see how it works. He needs to be sure that this isn't just going to be a kind of a backdoor into recreation. And I think we can look at that confidently and say, look, the average patient in Illinois is in mid-50s. The 50% of the patients who have cards in Illinois are between 50 and 70. So the concern about diversion is probably unwarranted. I think, you know, frankly, it seems more politics. Would I like to see conditions added for the patient? Absolutely. PTSD is on the list. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of a political issue than it might be. And hopefully these things it'll be resolved with all the other, you know, situation that we're going on budgetarily here.
Andy, question for you. So when a patient is a candidate, question about the process. So do they first get a card before it's prescribed? How does it all work?
Well, so that's a good question. There's no prescription, really. It's recommendation. Doctors cannot write a prescription for cannabis. They can only recommend. And it's based on the patient having one of the 39 qualifying conditions, and you can check that out on the Department of Health website, but it's pretty serious thing. So if you have a condition, you have a history of a condition, and you have a bona fide patient-doctor relationship, you can ask your doctor for a recommendation to use cannabis. And I know it's not easy for people to do, because sometimes you'll say, hey, I would like to use cannabis. You're saying cannabis, the doctor's hearing weed. And, you know, and we are trying to get people, we're trying to help doctors get kind of over that hurdle, you know. So we've done some community outreach. A lot of the many folks in the industry are doing doctor outreach to kind of help them understand that there is a process. It is controlled. So a patient needs to get fingerprinted, submit the paperwork. The doctor then provides a recommendation separately, sends that into the state. When it takes about maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks to get your card, and then once you have a card as a patient or caregiver, then you're eligible to purchase cannabis from a registered dispensary.
And once you get a card as a patient, is there an expiration on that card, or does it need to be renewed?
It needs to be renewed every year. So you would need to, you know, again, that's kind of maintaining that patient-doctor relationship, which, you know, I think it is a legitimate relationship ultimately.
Yeah.
And when you applied for the business papers, you know, when you started the process in Highland Park, what kind of response and reception did you get?
A lot of bureaucratic pushback. No, not really. Actually, I think Highland Park was really easy to work with. I mean, it was a long process. They were they did their due diligence. They asked a lot about our business plan. We had to present a security plan. We had already been vetted by the state, but as we had gone through the process with Highland Park, it took us a good 6 to 8 months. But we were happy to do it. It's Highland Park's a great community. We live up in next door, in Lake Forest. But I thought they were totally fair. They did slap some conditions on us, but we've probably gone a little bit over and above what the state expected of us just to be part of the community.
Good.
Oh, and so you, I want to say, and I'm not sure if I had read this somewhere, there's something like, I guess, maybe 5,000 patients statewide who have cards presently. You know, and I'm not sure if you know that figure, if I even read that right. You know, is there necessarily any limit on the number of patients who can have cards in the same way that there is a limit on the number of, you know, say, licensed number of dispensaries out there?
No, there's no limit. I mean, that's really going to come down to the willingness for doctors to write recommend and patient awareness. I mean, I think patients right now, it's a great question, Chuck. The 5,500, the numbers I think just came out, around 5,500 patients have cards, and that's up about 700-800 from the last month. They're getting better at processing these things. Patients are becoming more aware that there are options for them. So we just opened a week ago. So that's, you know, for us, we're an option closer to home, and for folks in Highland Park and Deerfield, Winnetka, Glencoe, that's where our patients are coming from. And I think that's happening all over the state. So there are 32 dispensaries open now. Patients who have been driving an hour and a half or even just 25 minutes can now find a location that's closer. The cultivators, there are, I believe, 8 cultivators, and you could get into that a little bit, but they're starting to produce more high-quality product, which I say product medication, and in a different variety, so patients have a wider choice because not everyone wants to smoke it. There are or that you can take it sublingually, there are tinctures. You can use oils, vaporize it, edibles, of course. And so probably around 40% of the sales last month were not non-flower.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to let our listeners know, if you are interested or curious, if you qualify for medical cannabis, that you can do a patient application at dph.illinois.gov and look for medical cannabis applications. There are a lot of categories here. You can find out whether or not you qualify, and you can also find out the process for going through the application. And for people who cannot go online, I think there's got to be a number here somewhere for people to call, but the address is Illinois Department of Health, of the Illinois Department of Public Health, Division of Medical Cannabis, 535 West Jefferson Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62761, and we will post that information and link on our website for more information. There have been a lot of patients kind of coming around being curious at your facility so far, or are you getting people who already have their cards, or a little bit of both?
I mean, I think patients who are getting their cards and have the opportunity will register with us. We've also had some patients that have come in and asked about qualifying conditions. We'll sit down with them and we'll go over the the list with them, and if they have a qualifying condition, we'll talk to them about how to talk to their doctor. There are some advocacy groups out there that you can talk to that could help you find a doctor who's cannabis friendly. Can't at a dispensary recommend doctors, but you know, I do think there are a lot of different options out there.
Yeah, there must be a way to find out. Find out that there are, as Andy said, there are 39 qualifying conditions for medical marijuana. Do you mind holding on the line? I know we've got a couple people who might have questions. Would you be willing to take some answers? I mean,
Absolutely, sure.
Wonderful. 312-981-7200. We are hanging out with Dr. Charles Turk, our pharmacist expert, and Andy Hunt, who is the owner and CEO of Elevel, the cannabis dispensary, medical cannabis dispensary in Highland Park. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Dr. Charles Turk, our pharmacist expert and the CEO and founder of Sentia CME, a continuing medical education company. We also have on the line with us Andy Hunt, who is the owner and CEO of Elevel, the first medical cannabis dispensary in Highland Park. Andy, we right now are, all three of us are kind of going through different websites trying to find information about the qualifying conditions, because we had a listener call in. Jill wanted to know if a couple of conditions like lupus and migraine happen to be on the list. I believe lupus does qualify. Are you familiar with that? with whether
or not? Lupus does qualify. Migraines were on the list, I believe, but they were rejected. That is on the list to be expanded, though. So, I mean, people are pretty amazed. I mean, there's some things that are kind of arcane, mm-hmm. esoteric, and things that you haven't heard about, but
right. There
are some pretty common ones as well. But, yeah, I agree. Go to the list or come to LaVelle and, you know, give us a call, and we'll walk you through it.
Oh, and how do people contact you?
You can go to our website. Our number's on there. I can throw a plug in there and give you the number. I won't do that. But
yes, you can.
Our number's on the site.
You can give us your number.
Yeah, it's 847-780-3942, and we're open 6 days a week. So, and you know, I've got a great staff. You know, the people we've hired they've trained themselves. Really, I mean, there is no certification. That might be a question someone would ask. So, we've got a good staff of people who've given up better paying jobs to get into this business and help people.
You know, that's the thing I was wondering about, people who are passionate about this in particular. Do you find that you're networking with medical marijuana advocates?
Yeah, you know, I really like the people that we work with. You know, we work with medical cannabis outreach, for example, and they will sign people up for free. They'll help find a doctor that matches. It's not one of those, you know, kind of wink and a nudge type doctors. They'll find a legitimate doctor to help if your doctor won't. And, you know, many people don't have doctors. I guess if they have these conditions, they likely do. But so, you know, I love the people in this industry. The folks I've been working with, it's been very communal. We've helped each other. I can call a different dispensary and ask them a question. I mean, so, I think everyone in Illinois has got their heart in the right place.
From the 312, this is a quick text. How does insurance play into the medical marijuana process?
You know, that's it's cash. It's pretty much you can get. But I will say that the visit to your doctor is covered. So if you're going to your doctor and you're having a discussion about getting a recommendation, that is covered. The actual medication is generally not covered. I think there's I'm 99% sure of that.
And what I would imagine that if you have a flex band, obviously that doesn't help if you're trying to find a way to sort of supplement the costs. Oh, we have that would be the next question here then. If the insurance not involved, Robin has a question. Oh, no, I hung up on Andy. Sorry, Craig. Robin, hold on 1 second. I just lost Andy because I answered your phone call. How are you doing, Robin?
I'm okay. How are you?
Very well. We're getting Andy back on the line. It's been a while since I've dropped a call. I've been doing so well. I think that it's Dr. Turk's cravat and smoking jacket. We're getting Andy back. Where are you calling from, Robin?
St. John, Indiana.
Oh, from St. John, Indiana. All right, hold on 1 second. I've locked you in, and we've got Andy back. I apologize, Andy.
No, it's okay.
Talking about medical cannabis makes me nervous.
You might need a prescription.
My cravat.
Yes, all of that.
We need to add that to
the list
one
of things.
Of conditions.
And it's Friday night. Robin had a question for you. Go ahead, Robin.
I was just curious how much it cost.
Well, I mean, it really depends on, I mean, it's, let's see, so for example, a daily user would probably spend around $350 a month.
Okay.
That's reasonable, I think. You can, you know, really depends on the condition, frankly. Some folks,
okay.
You can buy as much as 2.5 ounces every 2 weeks, which would be about $1,000, but
wow.
That would be really mostly for someone who's really going through a very hard time.
Okay.
Go ahead, Robin. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
I was just curious if there were any dispensaries, in Northwest Indiana.
Indiana is not, does not have, I don't think that you can really get it in Indiana. Unfortunately, you have to be an Illinois resident to.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, Robin. They haven't passed medical marijuana legislation in Indiana yet. It's state by state so far. I know. Hopefully they're working on it, but it may be a bit still.
So Illinois, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. I'm just curious.
Thank you, Robin. Appreciate it. Did you have a question?
Oh, thank you so much.
Of course.
I will say, too, you know, and this doesn't have to do with Robin's question, but I think that we had a caller or a texter just a little bit ago who was talking about how they couldn't the physician who was willing
mm-hmm.
to or,
yes.
or able to recommend or you know or willing to yeah willing
prescribe.
To recommend or per, yeah I mean re- willing to recommend medical cannabis and so Andy, you had talked about advocacy groups or something like that, because you can't or are not willing to, and understandably so, recommend a physician, you know, or a specific physician, or endorse a specific physician who is who can or is willing to. But with that said, you said there are resources out there for such patients, and what can you recommend as far as that goes?
Yeah, I would recommend Medical Cannabis Outreach. They do quite a bit of good work. They work with the patient. They don't charge any money. There are a few others. The Healing Clinic, for example, is one. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of it. Those are really the two that I'm aware of. There are doctors as well. I mean, it's kind of word of mouth then, I think, ultimately, if you're not using one of those two. That I mentioned.
Got it. So those are advocacy groups, and they have websites.
Yep.
Okay. Got it.
Yep.
And your website is elevelle.net. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And go find Andy if you're curious. If you have questions, you just want to check out one of the medical cannabis dispensaries. They are in Highland Park, and find out more information at elevelle.net. Thank you so much, Andy. That's at 1460 Old Skokie Road in Highland Park. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yep, thank you very much for the call. Thanks very much.
Of course. Have a wonderful evening. More after this on 720 WGN. Pretty late favorite. Her 12th appearance. Really one of the most wonderful musicians, songwriters. Here is Tess Constantine with Baby Doll.
Baby doll, baby doll. Haven't called in a while. Baby doll, when did your smile. Fade away. Maybe you got lost in it, baby. Maybe you forgot it, baby. Just know I'm around. Think I thought too much of it, baby. Think I was ashamed of it, baby. Just know it's okay. Cause remember the day we painted that door red. Cause when we walk in, it's gonna be love all night. We painted that door red, cause when we walk in, it's gonna be love all night. The way you liked it. When your covers weren't hiding under the yellow dress on Sunday morning, you wore through the park. I know you're not afraid of the dark. Oh, baby doll, baby doll. Answer the call, answer the call. Oh, baby doll, brought back my smile, brought back my smile. Think I got lost in it, baby. Think I forgot it, baby. I know you're around. Think I thought too much of it, baby. Think I was ashamed of it, baby. I know we're okay. Cause remember the day we painted that door red. Cause when we walk in, it's gonna be love all night. We painted that door red. Cause when we walk in, it's gonna be love all night. Your curves weren't hiding under that yellow dress on Sunday morning. You wore to the park. I know you're not afraid of the dark.
Tess Constantine.
Thank you.
Another new song. I told Craig, were we on the phone this morning with, or today with Stephanie? 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon feels like morning for us sometimes. But we were talking to Steffi Menendez, one of our bosses, and we were saying that this was your 12th appearance, but every time you come, there's something new. And we couldn't be more proud of you. It's
Thank
so exciting
so much
to watch you, whether it's on Facebook and or the music that you bring in studio. Always, from the very first time we met you, Craig and I were blown away by the soulfulness of your music. And when we met you, you were 15. 15 or 14 even?
15. Yeah.
And, you know, I was trying to imagine Tess, you know, wandering around the hallways of her high school. Just, I could just see you always thinking of the next thing to write or what this means to my music and just sort of always thinking of that. Do you dream in music?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. When I dream, it's not like, I don't have dreams when it comes to like me performing or me writing songs, but mm-hmm. I have dreams where
good.
In my dream,
don't have those. Don't, yeah. Yeah. That's good.
It's weird, but yeah, I have dreams where I have music playing during my dream.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's not my music. It's just like random music. I don't know.
And when we talked to you before, I know early on we'd asked you about some of your influences, and I know mm-hmm. Florence and the Machine was one of the groups you mentioned. Do you have, is that starting to evolve too now that you're in a different education environment?
Yeah, for sure. I think I've always been drawn to like strong, like female voices, like mm-hmm. her, like Tracy Chapman. I think like women with like big voices.
Yes.
And also like deep voices. I think also by being like more like engaged in terms of like in songwriting terms, like who writes the song. I think I'm more impressed by people that like write their own songs, because I look up like, oh, did they write that song or like mm-hmm. how did that work? I would say like I'm getting evolved to like, you know, older, like I'm doing... One of the classes I'm doing is called Performance Lab, where we have to do these cover songs and like mimic them like exactly. And it can range from mm-hmm. we did a Justin Timberlake like 90s song to...
What did that feel like?
That was interesting. It was interesting. I got to say the contemporary ones are pretty hard to mimic too, because they have electronic stuff in it too, which is kind of hard to mimic sometimes live. But that we did like... That we did James Taylor. So like a Fun. Wide variety. So like expands... what you think about music, and for sure my style's changed based on like the people around.
Right.
Yeah. I think honestly the students have influenced me a lot recently.
Well, I would imagine there's like an ebb and flow here. Charles, did you want, didn't want to keep your mic off.
You know, Tess, I think it's fair to say that you know, so you've been here 12 times. You've come with something new every time. It's mm-hmm. fair to say that you're a prolific songwriter. Thank you. Even at this young age. I have to ask, you know, so you're prolific, you're creative. When would you say, is there any pattern to when you have your moments of, you know, of greatest creative inspiration?
It depends. It really depends. like just when I was in the green room, I came up with like, in general, what happens is that I have a melody in my head and I'm like, oh, that's not a song I know. I'll like record it on a voice memo, just like the vocal melody. And then when I'm in the mood to write a song or whatever, I look at my voice memos. So those really help me. I think just like saving and documenting those like random times where I get a certain, or I write down a line that I come up with like in the middle of like a class mm-hmm. and then I go back to them. And then I'm like, okay, trying to analyze and think about, okay, how am I going to make that a complete song, like a story?
Is there any time of day or any environment or anything
nighttime.
Like that? Okay.
Nighttime.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, before you go to bed or, you know, like, you know, just after dinner, like, you know.
Yeah.
There is almost a haunting quality to some of the music that you do. So it has that sort of nighttime element mm-hmm. to it. There's a beauty in that.
Yeah, I think nighttime for sure. I mean, I've never been a morning person, but also I feel like...
Me neither.
Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. But I feel like I've had to write songs like to expand yourself. I've tried writing songs in the morning, like early morning. It's just not great.
why have you tried doing it in the early morning? Did you do the try the artist way?
Yeah. And I mean, at school too, they give us like, they're like, okay, wake up at 7 a.m. and write a song. And that didn't work out for me.
Yeah.
I just
do you find yourself almost like following some formula that doesn't belong to you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I think it depends. I mean...
Because I would. I mean, and by that I mean it would be like I'm doing this for the sake of doing it rather
right.
than having it flow.
Right, yeah. I think the ones where I'm like, I come up with a melody randomly, those are the ones that aren't the formula that mm-hmm. I have to figure out when I look back at it and then say, okay, how am I going to make that a song? Versus, okay, I have to sit down and write a song right now. That's more of a formula, saying, okay, verse, chorus, whatever. So Yeah.
And it's so cool that you've followed your dreams. Your parents have been so supportive of you going to Interlochen.
Love you guys.
To Interlochen.
Shout out to my parents.
Shout out to the parents in the studio.
Yeah, no, honestly.
They've been here every time. They're always so cool to hang out with you. We have to offer them some Moscato, by the way, before we go. But, you know, it was getting into Interlochen because, I know that my son is passionate about certain things, but I don't know that he would be brave. Like, there is a braveness to leaving home at a young age, but I also think there's got to be an element of like the Hogwarts for music, sort of a draw.
No, it's really the misfits. Like I feel because also we're outside of the small town Traverse City, but it's we're
so beautiful up there too in Michigan.
Yeah, it really is. But it's super weird place to be because we're in the middle of like a woods in like a small town, and like even 2 miles outside of like campus or like Confederate flags, it's very concerned because it's Michigan.
Sorry, it's not all Michigan. Michigan, we know you're listening too, by the way.
Oh no,
did Tess just go cuz Michigan?
I mean that in the sense that it's really extreme at Interlochen, where I mean, like at my old school,
it's like
majority
island.
Were conservative, and at Interlochen, like you're shunned if you like any conservative, you know, politician.
Well, that's not fair either, though.
Yeah, I agree, because I know someone that's conservative, and like I'm actually pretty good friends with them. But I think it's a nice place, though, because for people, it's like a place for creativity, and also like I know a lot of people that like even like people that can dress up like in drag or like different, like they're kind of like it's kind of like mini college in some ways, mm-hmm. but it's a place where people can go, like no one is judgmental, you know. It's really cool.
I feel like I want to help the conservative students write some ballads or something to express themselves so that they can feel brave. I mean, that sounds strange, but I mean, I get it, because in an artist community, it's you know, the tendency is to be a little more accepting of everything, mm-hmm. and I think that falls hard on conservatives. They're like, well, I accept stuff, but it's such a weird battle, because they always, when you do go off to college, there's that sense that there's a tendency towards liberalism. So I hope that the students, you know, feel like they can be themselves.
I agree, and I feel like, I mean, for me, like I've always been super open, but even going there was a little bit of like a shock, just because I've always heard about it or seen it on like TV and movies, just like people being different. But like, you don't really see that. I didn't see that in my old school. Like, obviously there were people that were gay or lesbian, but most people were, I'm sure, in the closet.
Right.
And so like seeing that at Interlochen, it was a little bizarre at first, in terms of just like seeing it for real life. But like, I think it's great. You know,
I'm excited for you. We're hanging out with Tess Considine, and more music, more live music with her. We also have Rob Martier's in the studio, because in a little while we have the Weekend Wind Up with Rob Martier, and joining us tonight is Dr. Charles Turk. More after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and Rob Martier is joining us very shortly for What's in the Box and the Weekend Wind Up with Rob Martier. Dr. Charles Turk joins us in studio in his cravat and his smoking jacket glory. And for the 12th appearance, you have appeared more than any other musical, I would say more than most guests, as a matter of fact. You're one of our favorites. And as Charles mentioned, one of the most prolific, too. So we're so excited to have musician and songwriter Tess Considine with Traveling Lovers.
The winter cracks her bones and dim light she tries. Words linger on shifting stones. He's the anchor, keeps her steady in her lover's world. She's an ageless wonder through romanticized eyes. Though the clock keeps ticking, their love never subsides. And sun and moon sing like loons. Carry a simple tune for you and I. Through storms and rages, we speak the truth night. False statements were a sail on a ship at sea. Traveling lovers are each other's homes. Traveling lovers are each other's homes. 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 We rays of sun etch his tan skin. Topsy, it's so cold. His body misplaced continues to ache. She's the lines keep him steady in his lover's world. Ink pages condensing. Fine lines, day and day. And night, and clouds and stars. They breathe you through the heart. Carry a simple tone, you and I. Through storms and rages, we speak the truth, not false statements. We're a sail on a ship at sea. Traveling lovers are each other's homes. Traveling lovers are each other's homes. Each other's homes. Each other's homes. Each other's homes. Each other's.
Tess Constantine with Traveling Lovers. People can find your music online, can't they?
Yes, they can.
They should.
Yeah, you look up Tess Constantine, which is T-E-S-S space Constantine, C-O-N-S-I-D-I-N-E. I have a website, Facebook, Instagram, Vine, Twitter, all everything.
I was blown away the very first time you came on our show, which was about 2 years ago, yeah. I would say about in April for the Bitter Jester Battle of the Bands. And I mean, we were blown away then. And I didn't think I'd be more blown away. And I keep getting more blown away by your music. And
Thank you.
It's obviously there's a maturity, but there's a lot of, you have so much patience with your music too. You know, I mean, we see a lot of musicians who, mm-hmm. and it's not just because you're comfortable with the studio and you know us. Mm-hmm. You're patient with the way you want to communicate the emotions mm-hmm. that you have in the writing and in the you know, all the music.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. I know that you've been going out to L.A. Has that had an influence, like, when you think about what are they going to want in L.A.? Or are you still really good about protecting what you need to share?
It's okay. Both. Because I feel like there's sometimes where I get stuck in, especially if I don't have a certain idea that comes up, I get stuck in a rut. I'm like, okay, like, how to write a hit song? And honestly, it's kind of hard to tell because I'm like, you know, just myself, like, you know, I'm a performer, but I'm not like well known. Like, it's kind of hard to tell what would be or what would not be, just because it's so formulaic and like what like the audience like. I hear hit songs that I love, and I hear hit songs that I'm like, why is that a hit song? You know, so it's
and really, that will be the artist's way for the rest of your
right.
life.
And I think that's like, I think
why
that's
did a, that make it?
Yeah, I think that's the one tedious thing, I think, for me, just like knowing what people want versus what they don't want. Because, but I think in the end, I want to do something where when I perform it, like, I'm confident, because I don't want to do something where I have like no personal connection or like want to play it, because then it's not going to get across to the audience at all.
Then you're just going through the motions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of something that, that was created for consumption rather than for pleasure.
Right.
It's a wild ride. When you go into a recording studio, how has that changed in the last couple of years for you, that experience?
It's changed. Well, I mean, currently for this new EP that I'm working on, I'm working with my friend Jesse Munsett, who is a singer songwriter as well. And he's a really good producer. And I think it changes it, because when I hear it, like, I hear it as my guitar and myself, and I hear other instruments, but I'm not right. sure, like, you know, how that's going to work. I hear a bigger sound, but I'm not like the instrumentalist that can like be like, okay, I want to put this certain, you know, riff on the bass or whatever. And
right.
this is where I think it comes more to life, I would say.
And you're putting your hands in your life in the hands of a producer, your music and everything
right.
that you love.
But I think doing it, I think the thing about I can tell a good producer because they listen and then they evaluate
right.
and they talk about it with you, instead of just saying, okay, this needs this or this needs that, you know? But yeah, I think the weird thing for me is not when I play it and then bring it to the studio, but when I bring it to the studio and then I play by myself without
right.
all that instrumentation. I think that's the weird part, because I hear when I play certain songs,
sure.
I hear, you know, the bass and the drums and everything. And then when I play by myself, it kind of feels empty, but I try to bring the life back with just me and my guitar.
So. Right. Well, you've learned so much already in the 2 years, and you've grown so much. We're so proud of you and look
Thank
forward
you
to
so
having
much.
You. Whenever you're in town. I mean, we will set up again and make sure that we have room for you and space. We'll always make time for Tess Considine.
Thank you so much, Patty.
Thank you so much. Again, your website, Tess?
Tess Considine, TessConsidine.com.
All right. Have fun at school.
Thank you.
Most importantly, have fun at school. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, straight to news? Well, then 312-981-7200. We need two contestants for What's in the Box. 312-981. She's leaving, everybody. Don't get nervous about our high school student. 312-981-7200. We need two contestants. We have a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's and a $25. We have a gift card for Apt Electronics, abt.com, for more information about Apt Electronics out in Glenview. 312-981-7200. Two contestants for What's in the Box. Right now, with your news, So what's happening with news and traffic on Fridays? I know Laura Vaughn, but I don't, because like sometimes it's one way and sometimes it's the other way, and you're not Roger Badish. It's all very confusing.
Roger took the night off, so I'm here to fill in.
Well, I'm thrilled to see you, m'lady.
I am delighted.
I'm
this has been awesome.
And they drink their martinis dry. And they all have fruity children. And they all look just the same. Young boys wanna be men, start a business and raise a family. Send their kids to summer camp, try to fulfill their fantasy. Life is really gonna make a difference. You hoping you make them change. Just look at yourself and like them boxes.
You're listening pretty late. I kind of love this version of Little Boxes. It's time for What's in the Box. I'm so excited to have our friends in the studio joining us. Is Rob Martier? He's all done. Done for the week. That's it. Done. Call it a week, my friend. Which one's yours? Why don't I have a mic? No, none of them. Hold on. It's the standing mic. Hold on. No. Nick's here, though. Hey, Nick.
Hey.
We're readjusting microphones. There's Rob. Oh, almost.
Check one, just, two.
Just stick it in there. Yeah. Hey, Rob Martier.
Oh, man.
Oh, there it is.
You feel that?
I do feel that.
I like that a lot.
It's Friday. Just let it roll right over you, my friend.
It is, believe me.
And also joining us in studio, our sidecar tonight, Dr. Charles Turk, who is somewhat of a co-creator in this segment, because I was on the phone with him one day telling him how surprised I was with the volume of reviews there were for adult toys. And he suggested that we compile the reviews and possibly put them in a book so that people could learn a little more about what women like and sometimes what men like as well, Charles, as a matter of fact. And we thought about maybe doing dramatic readings of reviews. That was actually how this all came about on our show. And it was none other than... Yes, Rob?
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Yes. Yeah,
no, I was just going to say, have we started developing the board game for this yet?
Oh.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Pat,
that is our million dollar idea.
Well, What's in the Box?
That'd be awesome. That is your contribution. But what I was suggesting, what we were developing in this conversation was a book that could serve as an educational piece to make, at least this was my idea, men better lovers.
Mm-hmm.
That's
here. I say more of that. Please,
no,
please.
I'm good. I'm good up in here.
But it was none other.
You are, but you know, not everybody is. What I was saying is that, or at least my thought is that there are a whole lot of women out there who are suffering from, from poor male lovers. That's just my thought.
It's for real. The struggle is real, my friend.
And that's what I hear
out there. And now we have two gentlemen on the line. Let's see if they concur that women need better lovers. Hey, Dominic, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Very well. Do you suspect that that women are in need of better lovers out there?
Probably.
Nick's like, I'm not sure.
I wouldn't know. I haven't had any complaints.
There you go.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, I mean, so, you know, I mean, all I'm saying is that, you know, when I settle down with a lady, I'm just saying, I happen to get some compliments, you know, I happen to blow minds, and
what's happening? I don't know what's happening on our show right now.
I don't know. Can you tell me? I don't know.
What I'm told is that there are a whole lot of very poor male lovers out there.
What I'm being told is that Dominic's on the line, wondering what in the box is. Dominic, have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
Yeah, I've heard the game before.
Excellent. Hold on one second. I'm glad that you know. Gary, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
Very well. And have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
I haven't. Okay. I really have paid attention to it.
Okay, that's all right. Friday nights, every Friday night, we kind of unwind a little bit over cocktails. Tonight we have our friend Nick from Howls and Hood. And hopefully, you know, if that's your thing, maybe you're enjoying a cocktail or maybe you're at work or wherever, or driving. Don't drink while you're driving or before even, just moderately or at all. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm really enjoying this cocktail. What did you bring us, Nick?
This is a London Mule. So
definitely.
Tanqueray, some orange bitters, ginger beer, and a little cucumber lime simple syrup. So.
You should just call it kicking the teeth.
Kicking the teeth.
There you go. Well, Gary, since you haven't heard us play before, I'll explain. I do a lot of shopping online, and I was struck by the volume of reviews and how similar the reviews are for adult toys and house appliances, like a blender or a whisk. So the game is, what we do is we will read you a review for you, and we have Dr. Charles Turk, we have Nick, we have Rob Ooh, I'm sorry. We surprised Gary a little bit.
Okay.
You're going to be all right?
Get it all out. Get it all out.
Better now than when we start the game. That's all.
Gary, I promise we will be gentle. And Dominic, we are always gentle.
Some of us.
Yes. So your task is to tell us whether you think the review is for a toy or an appliance. You don't have to be specific. You do not have to be specific about anything. Yes, that's all. Just tell us if it's for a toy or an appliance. Some people have tried being specific before. Not necessary. Please don't. Just appliance.
No bonus points for that?
No bonus points. Here we go. Dominic, you're first. Rob Marchillo will read for you.
All right. Dominic, I'm going to read this to you like I would be doing the news here on WGN.
He's going to read it to you like a man.
You ready?
Awesome.
It's 32 and cloudy at O'Hare. You know, nothing can compare to this product. Like everyone else, I was skeptical about the price and how well it would actually work. It was worth every penny. I would even pay more on the company's website just to get it if I lost this one. They deserve every cent. Sports, traffic, and weather next on WGA.
That's awesome. Can't wait to hear how the Cubs play.
All right, what do you think, Dominic?
I'm going to go with
Yes.
Dominic, we need a decision.
Yes, Dominic.
Is Dominic?
Hello?
Yeah, are you there?
Are you there?
It's a toy.
Ding, ding, ding. Good job, Dominic. Well done.
We'll pay extra on the website. Don't lose that one, apparently. Well, you never know. Sometimes it's shorts. Can you, Gary, Nick is going to read for you next.
Okay.
Gary, you ready?
Yes.
All right. It's amazing. Going refurbished is the way to go, my friends.
I want to say one thing. By the way, I have five ex-girlfriends who will say the world needs better lovers.
There you go. That's true. Thank you, Gary.
I appreciate that, but I think you're just trying to change the subject. I mean, we're in the game right now. Now we can talk about this afterwards, but we're in the midst of a round.
I'm in love with this. Right,
need something refurbished.
Here you go. All right, Gary, what do you think? Toy or appliance?
Toys.
Ooh.
It's an appliance.
It's an appliance, thank God. I understand, and we all have to save money, and that is a discount on some websites. But I'm in love with that laugh. All right, Charles, please read for Dominic.
All right, Dominic, this is round two.
Okay. Okie dokie.
All right, here we go, Key, as Stephen Colbert would say. Just trust me. This is what you want.
Uh-oh.
And if you want, I'll read this to you once, twice, or thrice more. Just trust me. This is what you want. Or if you want, I'll read it to you boring.
Dominic, what do you think?
I want to go with toy again.
You are correct,
so
sir.
So much drama on that.
Wow.
I know. We were all kind of just hanging on it.
You are two for two, sir.
Yes. Nice. Gary's behind by two. Rob, help a brother.
Well, hold on. It's not quite fair to say that. He's behind by one. He'll be behind by two if he gets this one wrong.
So okay.
We need to give him a chance to. Yeah. We need to give him a chance to respond.
Currently,
to,
it is 2-0. Just so you know.
Yes.
So if we were playing,
but,
I know he hasn't been to bat yet. But as yes.
No,
he...
it's totally fine. Dr. Charles is changing the rules. We actually do let someone win on 5, even if the other person doesn't get a question. Yes. So they are back behind by 2.
All right, Gary, you ready?
Yes, I am.
This is a very well-designed product. I've used several other brands in the past, but it is much better. The motor is really powerful, and the unit is very well made.
Sorry.
That's got to be a toy.
Oh, Gare, I'm sorry.
See?
It's an appliance, my friend.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. I wouldn't lie to you.
Do you see, Gary? This is why I was fascinated by these reviews. Nick, will you please... Okay, Dominic, you got to pull it together, Dom. Nick,
you know what? I'm partying with Dominic after tonight's show. Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. It's Gary.
I'm bringing mules.
All right. Dominic, Nick is going to read for you.
What kind of mules?
London.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dominic, you ready? Fab product. Makes my life better.
Is that for Gary? Oh, hold on. We lost
for Dominic, right? Yeah, sorry about that.
That was for Dominic, yeah.
Oh, Dominic. Sorry, Dominic, here. Nick, please read for Dominic again.
Dominic, you ready?
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, bud. Fab product. Makes my life better.
What do you think, Dominic?
Appliance.
Got it.
Hey, wow. See,
man, yeah. I know my toys.
You do, ain't your appliances.
It was like a Peter Griffin laugh.
That's right.
Yeah, all right.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
They're laugh twins. You and Peter Griffin.
Who's Peter Griffin?
Oh, right.
Family Guy.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I'm curious if Gary's laugh is completely genuine, though. I don't know if that's how he laughs all the time at parties.
I think that's genuine, yeah.
Charles, will you please read for Gary?
Probably does that at funerals.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So... Actually, the laugh. It kind of reminds me of Vince Vaughn in the movie Swingers.
Vaughn too.
That was his first movie. Yeah,
It was his first big movie. It may have been his first movie. All right, here we go.
okay,
trying to decide. Okay, you can't use it right out of the box. You can't use it right out of the box. True, you have to take the drum and put it in the freezer overnight, or at least until you can't hear the liquid sloshing in between the walls of the drum.
Wow.
You guys are sick.
Maybe we are. Maybe we aren't. Now, remember, we're not necessarily saying we purchased
this. And it depends on what you think it is.
Yes.
I'll tell you what it is once you answer.
Because Patty has purchased this.
I have. go ahead. What do you think, Gary?
And if you like, I'll read this again.
A
toy? It's definitely an appliance. Not only is it an appliance, it's an ice cream maker. So when you purchase the ice cream maker, you have to take the drum out, put it in the freezer, because there is material. There's like a liquid in the walls of that bucket that have to freeze in order to make.
I can make a toy out of that. I guarantee it.
Okay, Rob. Please read for Dominic.
Talk about liquid.
All right, Dom. You ready? Here we go.
The walls of the drum.
I'm saying.
All right, let's play it.
All right. Too loud, but gets the job done.
What do you think, Dominic?
Appliance.
Oh, it's a toy.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I thought that was a trick question.
No.
It's all right. Okay, Nick, you'll lead for Gary.
All right, Gary, you ready?
Okay. Yes, I am.
Not perfect, but very close. I've owned more over the years than I can count. I've tried low-end, high-end, and in-between. But this gal is the best.
Wow.
Gal.
Well,
what do you think, Gary?
I'm gonna. I tell you what. I have to say, toy.
Ding, 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 ding.
Gary gets on the board.
There
it is.
Yo, Gary, well done.
3-1 now.
Thank you,
Peter Griffin. Thank you. Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. All right, Charles. Do you have another one for Dominic, or are you out?
I got one.
All right.
I got one right here.
All right then, give us your one.
All right, here we go.
All right then.
Okay.
Over here.
All right.
Yeah. Over by here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. highly recommend this product. Very easy to use. Have been using almost every day. Love this product. Love this product.
Well, I'm thinking if they use it every day, they might get a little too tired if it's a toy. So I'm going to go with appliance.
Hells yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily rule out using it every day. Okay,
No, hold on. Look, he got it right.
he got it right.
I mean, don't discourage Dominic.
4-1, right? It's 4-1. That was Dominic. Wow. Dominic is ahead 4-1. Rob Martier, please.
He is up by 3, by the way.
All right.
He's up by 3, yes.
Okay. Here we go. All right. Works great. I've worn out a couple of others before, but this one is showing no signs of problems. Works great.
Appliance.
I've worn it out, and it is an appliance. Well done. Ding, ding, ding.
All right. There we go. It's 4-2 now. Dominic is ahead by 2. There you go. Nick, please read for Dominic.
All right, Dominic, ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I will admit that when I ordered this product, I expected a cheap, flimsy version. I was pleasantly surprised when it came to me looking as nice as it shows on the listing. It's very sleek and smooth. Very nice quality, not a cheapy one that'll die in a few weeks.
Wow.
I'm going to go with toy.
Whammy. Got it.
Wow.
I think that's the win,
too. That's the win.
That's
Whammy.
W right there.
Well done.
W flag to wave.
Congratulations,
nice, Dominic.
Dominic. Hold on the line, and Craig will get your information and find out if you would like a gift card from Apt Electronics. Go to apt.com. Thank you, Steve Shapiro, for helping out with our little segment, because they have electronics. They actually have household appliances there that you can write a review for, and maybe they'll end up on What's in the Box. Or you can also get a pizza from Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati's.com, best pizza in Chicago. Thank you so much for playing, you guys. And you know what? Quick break, and then we'll reset and do We Can Wind Up. It's so seriously a quick break. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's Friday. We have our weekend wind-up featuring our bartender from Howls & Hood, Nick. Thank you so much for bringing London Mule.
Thanks for having me.
And that's you said it was a little Tanqueray and a bunch of other splendid goodness.
Yeah, Tanqueray, ginger beer, a little cucumber lime simple syrup, and some orange bitters. So it keeps the palate balanced.
So good. So good. And the copper mugs. This has been popular in the last few
keeps
years.
Keeps it cold.
Do you have a hard time holding on to these, or do people walk out with those? I'm not encouraging anything.
No, I feel like a king when I drink out of one, though.
I do, too. I feel regal. I agree. We also have Rob Martier, our newsman, who's wound up his news reporting for the week and joins us to talk about the hot topics in the news.
Crazy.
Dr. Charles, I know it's been a crazy week. Dr. Charles Turk, our pharmacist expert and CEO, founder of Sanchez CME, continuing medical education company.
Hey.
And hello. What jumps out at you this week? Because you know there's escalating violence in Chicago as the weather gets warmer.
Yeah.
Craig sent us a video of someone getting shot, and it's gone viral now.
That is authentic, by the way.
Okay.
They're saying that now, because there were some questions initially of its authenticity. Mm-hmm. They're saying now that it is probably most definitely most likely real. They continue to investigate because the shooter, mm-hmm. you can actually see him standing over the person that was taking the selfie.
Right.
Very scary, very frightening. It kind of brings everything that happens in certain communities in the city right to your doorstep.
Right.
I mean, you hear it, you hear the anguish, you hear the anxiety, you hear the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is, we've talked about this before, Patty. Look, it's the South, it's the West Sides, it's certain communities. This is affecting the entire city.
Absolutely. And there are neighborhoods like Logan Square, which is a little bit farther north, affected. And
It affects the city. It affects the counties. It affects the collar counties. Mm-hmm. It affects the state.
It does.
And at some point in time, and I don't claim to know the answer. I just report what's in front of me.
Right.
Something's got to be done.
And has the nomination that Rahm Emanuel has made for the superintendent of police, has he mentioned anything, commented at all? Talked about violence and what his plans are, or are we just kind of waiting to see?
You know, I think the appointment was needed, certainly mm-hmm. from a political standpoint and a trust standpoint within the community, and certainly within the rank and file as well.
Right.
There are a lot of police officers not happy
About
with Mayor Emanuel
this choice
right now.
Oh
no, not with the choice with the mayor.
Well, and we talked about that. We were saying it needed to be someone from inside the force,
right.
Someone who knows the streets, who knows the history of the gangs, who gets what it's like mm-hmm. to be in the police department. With that in mind, though, were you surprised when he said he, in his entire career, he's never witnessed any sort of bad behavior, any sort of malfeasance?
I'm not surprised, but I will say, although I like him, mm-hmm. Eddie Johnson,
that's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe.
It's hard.
Yeah. When you've spent almost three decades mm-hmm. in one job, you have certainly seen some things.
Something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I guess he didn't want to say yes because then he has to answer what that was and right. why he didn't say something
right.
then.
Right.
So it's, yeah, I mean, and he's not a politician, right? So how it's a yes or no question.
Look, I'm not defending the bad actors, as we like to say, in the Chicago Police Department because they are few.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough job.
Right.
Things happen.
Right.
To that end, I, you know, it's too much to ask one guy, one man, to all of a sudden come in and make the changes that need to be. Look, this has to start really, quite frankly, at the level of the neighborhoods. That is where this cleanup has to start.
Absolutely.
You can put 10 million cops on every corner. There's still going to be violence. And that's just the unfortunate byproduct of what goes on.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit about this last night where, you know, we have recorded an interview with Sheriff Tom Dart that I haven't been able to air yet because we haven't had room for it.
Wow.
So I spoke to him for an hour. And so I feel like I've already shared this with the audience. I'm like, remember we were talking to the sheriff? Oh, no, you guys weren't there. None of you were at that interview.
That was just me and Tom so far.
That was just me. It was just me and Tom. I'm pretty sure I recorded it. Did I record it, Craig?
Yep, we have it all recorded.
And we actually talk about how it's recorded, and he was kind of glad that we acknowledged that it wasn't live. And he will be back and hopefully take questions live in studio. But we were talking about what are you doing, right? Because he knows that there are problems throughout the system, throughout the city, throughout the county. But, you know, at some point, when are we all taking responsibility? And that means in that community, in our communities, and how do we affect the communities that are the most violent, that have the most crime? You know,
one of the most profound sound bites that I've used over the past many years that I've been doing this now is there was a gentleman, a black gentleman in one of the communities that, you know, a shooting had occurred
mm-hmm.
and there were tears streaming down his cheeks. Now, you don't see that because it's on radio, but there were tears streaming down this gentleman's cheeks. And he goes, you know, this is an issue that has been at our doorstep for a long time now. Grandparents cannot be raising babies.
Right. And they are.
Unwed mothers cannot be raising babies from multiple fathers. That was the quote from this particular gentleman. Mm-hmm. And if you have somebody within the community saying that, then at some point in time, and look, I can't even begin to imagine what it's like on a socioeconomic front for, you know, you wake up every day, there's not a whole lot of hope, there's not a whole lot in front of you. What am I going to do? Where am I going to get money? How am I going to survive?
Right.
I get it.
But it's got to be so crazy when, I mean, it's crazy for everybody. And obviously it's hardest in those communities. And it's hard for the police officers. This is, you know, they've signed up for a job. They know they're in the line of danger. They know that there's a lot asked of them. We know that there's a lot of tension in the community when it comes to the police showing up. But when you read that every single day there are shots fired. There's someone in the hospital.
Yesterday, there were, I think, about 9 or 10 shootings, 2 fatalities.
Wow.
There were 3 shot in one incident alone. A 20-something-year-old man, a 40-something-year-old woman, both died in the same shooting. And in that same shooting, a 16-year-old boy was hit in the leg.
Jeez.
Now, he's going to survive, but the other two died.
Terrible. Right. It's every day. And as the weather gets warmer, it's only going to get worse. Well, Rob Martier, we want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. You're welcome to hang out. We're talking porn after 1 a.m.
Oh, then I'm definitely staying.
All right, then. Excellent. Yeah. And the effects on sexual behavior and the pleasure. Well, Charles has already alluded to women need better lovers. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. Oh, we need more lovers. More better lovers? I'm not sure what the statement was, but we'll figure it out when we come.
More better.
More better.
Yeah, bigger, better, everything.
Bigger, better, faster, stronger. Well, not faster.
Oh.
But.
Well, depends. Depends how much time you got. I mean, you know, sometimes you're busy. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And we've got a full it's all dudes. And I know Laura Vaughn's up in the newsroom, but right now on this floor, in this room, and in the producer's booth, it's all dudes. And I'm good with that. I'm all right. I'm fine. It's actually familiar for me. I grew up as a tomboy. I played baseball. I did stand-up comedy. It was always dudes. And I guess that's why I try not to think, when people ask me, what is it like being a female broadcaster, or what is it like being a female comedian? Here's the thing. I don't know what it's like to not be a female comedian or a female broadcaster. So I just know that I do my job. I keep showing up. But this headline caught my attention because we talk about sexuality on the show a little bit. And part of the reason is I grew up being very embarrassed. My parents never talked to me about what it meant to, you know, to mature, to start having relationships, or even to feel good with, alone, by yourself, touching yourself. We've talked, I think earlier this week, Craig, was it this week I talked about my mom wanting to send me off to Mormon Bible camp?
It was this week or last week.
Because she caught me touching myself.
Yep.
And
I remember that conversation.
And apparently that didn't really help as well.
No, it did not help as much, because then I'm really alone. I mean, so I discovered at an early age that felt good, and I have never been hesitant to take care of myself. I didn't know what it meant when I was like 7 or 8 years old, but you know, when I got older, and I didn't even like imagine anything. I wasn't like having fantasies. I just knew what felt good, and I'd never had any context. I was never, when I watched movies, it had sex in it. It was confusing to me. It looked kind of sloppy and uncomfortable. It did. It just looked like, why is he in? Why is he? You know, did I ever tell you this, Craig? The first time we shared an apartment, my parents and I were in a very small one-bedroom apartment, and we had a common wall with our front neighbor. There were two apartments on the floor, and my neighbor's name, let's call him Ray, because that was his name, and he lived with a woman, and one day I just hear this moaning. I hear, and I thought,
somebody's stuck.
I thought that she was sick, and I... And like, even before I knew it was, I have my ear on the wall. Like, people have their ears on the wall because they're hearing people have sex. I thought I told my mom, I think she needs a doctor. And my mom's, she's fine. She's better than I am. So
that's awesome.
I didn't understand what was happening. And honestly, I think I was like maybe in high school when they were having sex. So I never grew up being comfortable with myself. And we talk a lot on this show about, we've talked about rape culture. We've talked about, you know, consent, and we've talked about no means no. And I saw this headline and I was like, yes, consent alone is a low bar for sex. We have become more comfortable talking about girls' victimization than girls' pleasure. And I agree with that. I think we will say, well, you know, you shouldn't dress that way. You shouldn't be at parties like that. And I've even said that. If you're too drunk to know where you are, you know, you're not being safe. But I never really talk that much about, well, that's not true. Is that true that I don't talk about taking care of yourself?
We don't talk about it that much.
Not that much.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So I was fascinated by this. And then when I posted this on my Facebook page, Dr. Charles Turk chimed in, and he was saying that there's more that needs to be done for boys and girls so that they understand. Because, you know, girls are expected to say yes to anything, or they'll do things they're not even comfortable with because they figure it's easier than arguing, or they think a boy will like them because they do the things that are asked of them. And I don't know how you raise boys to understand that it's not just about pleasing themselves. It's also about being with somebody and pleasing them. Does that make sense?
I don't know. Everyone's kind of staring at me.
I don't.
Because I have 16-year-old twin boys, maybe.
I don't want to ask you specifically what your conversation has been like, because I don't know what my conversation with Griffin will be.
It's pretty easy. It's, you know, I drive home the... Be a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you're always taking whoever you're with, taking their feelings into consideration.
Right.
And look, both boys and girls, even more over boys in their teenage years, I mean, it's just, they're just going crazy.
Right.
I mean, things are happening with their bodies. And I've noticed it with both of the boys. And, but you know that doesn't excuse behavior, and it's a conversation we've had, and I tell them that you just need just be a gentleman,
right?
You know, just treat them well and with respect,
and thank you for that.
And things will work out.
And I think that and Charles, what was it? What was behind your motivation for posting that we should share? Perhaps we should share porn with young people so that they see what's going on.
Well, for okay.
Or, no, not share porn. No, you said with parents. You said parents should watch porn so that we know what's going on.
Well,
I think I'd speak for all of us. Yeah, as parents, we're all watching porn.
Yeah. So you know, just to reiterate, what I was not suggesting was sharing porn.
Yeah.
With
sorry,
young people.
I misspoke.
So,
yes.
So I'm going to reiterate that one more time. because words were placed in my mouth.
They were, and I apologize.
So, yeah, so for a third time, I did not suggest sharing porn with young people.
No.
So,
sorry.
Yes. That being said, though, young people probably can access porn.
And they can, and that is what I've said. They are accessing it on their own, and what I did say is they are doing that. And so... What Pandy did do was she shared a link by an author, and this author had written this author's gotten a lot of press coverage lately because what she did was she's released a book, and she wrote a promo for this book, and the promo was in the New York Times, and the promo was called "When Did Porn Become Sex Ed?"
Okay, right.
And it's a poignant question. And the question is poignant because in the absence of substantive sex education, what youngsters are doing is turning to an internet that is largely unregulated, and they are going to continue to do this, and they are turning to pornography. So, and what I suggested doing was for any parent who has an adolescent, or somebody, actually, for any parent who has a child approaching adolescence, my suggestion is to go on to the internet, and if you don't know what gonzo pornography is, go ahead and have a look at it, because it's fairly shocking.
What's
and
gonzo pornography? Where are the three of us?
That
like-
is hardcore pornography.
Like a, is that like a Muppet reference?
Yeah.
you, gonzo?
You should,
with the curved beak?
If only it could be. No, it is hardcore pornography, and oftentimes violent at that. So, take a look at the worst and the seediest of what pornography has to offer, because that is what sex education is and will be, particularly when there's a lack of sex education in certain geographical areas, and particularly
both in school and at home.
Right. And particularly in, you know, areas that favor abstinence-only sex education. You have to wonder why areas that that favor abstinence-only sex education have a particularly high area have particularly high rates of high teen pregnancy, and I would argue that this is one of them. It's because ignorance is prevalent, and you know, when you take a look at say European countries, for example, that take a more progressive approach and nip this in the bud fairly early by talking about it and by providing substantive sex education, admittedly at an appropriate age, they have educated, by definition, they've educated their children, again, at an appropriate age, and they also, as it turns out, have they've provided them with education that is sex positive and has focused on sex positive roles,
right,
that tend to detract from from violence.
Right, because a lot of what's available, there are situations in a lot of the porn that's available online that boys are going to get. I mean, the fact is that they just do. They're curious. Their friends are doing it, or they have a sibling who
Well, no. So I'm thinking maybe that's one issue here, is that the ease at which it's available and maybe the age at which people first start accessing it has changed. I think the sex education that exists in our, you know, school system or wherever it is tends to be at a certain age level. And at that point, it seems that maybe a lot of the kids today are already familiar with something through some sort of image or something that they've seen online.
Right.
So maybe we need to start attacking at an earlier age. Where does the conversation go so that we guide people away from what they can see online and more toward what they would learn in a classroom or maybe with a conversation with their parents?
Right.
I'm curious about that because in all honesty, I think that maybe part of what's happening too is that if the child is familiar with it, then the parents skip the conversation altogether because the kid already kind of knows, and that all came from the internet.
No, no, you have to tell them that that's not the way sex really is.
Oh, for sure. No, no, you definitely are supposed to have that conversation. But I think the reason that there's this issue is kind of developing and getting bigger is because I'm guessing probably when a child is familiar with something, the parents are in some ways relieved to not have to have that awkward conversation with their kid.
Because they already have seen images.
Right, because they're like, oh, I know what that is already, yeah, and then the parent skips it.
Right, and we should probably take more responsibility and have a deeper conversation about what it means, what those people are doing, and you know how that's different from actually, you know, that's all staged. That's all for consumption of pleasure rather than what a relationship is or what you're supposed to be involved in when you have a, you know, physical contact with somebody.
I would say that, you know, the ease with which pornography is available online is actually providing a sort of crisis that we have to confront. Because, again, you know, pornography, you know, I mean, there are different shades of it. You know, some of it is more, well, I mean, some of it is more, you know, violent, and some of it is less so. And again, you know, it's freely available. And whereas we had the luxury of being able to, you know, to sort of punt before, you know, as parents and educators and not have to talk about it, we don't have that luxury anymore. And kids are educating themselves.
And here's the thing, by the way, I just realized the reason I connected Dr. Charles mentioning parents needing to watch porn and see what's available is I was wondering if I should, you know, if Griffin's going to get a hold of it, should I, you know, say this is, I was considering saying, I know you're going to see this, let's talk about it. But it's not quite the same thing as, like, you know, reading along with the Cookie Monster. But at the same time, I'm like, I know he's going to look at it himself, but he can't look at it with me. So that's why I made that connection. And I apologize, Dr. Turk. That was actually literally why I made that connection when I saw your post. Because I was like, do I sit down with Griffin and say, this is, no, I can't see myself doing that.
What I'm saying is this. You
so,
know,
by the way, again, Charles did not suggest that you your kids watch porn. I was wondering whether or not I should sit down with Griffin.
What I'm not suggesting is that you know, have a long-term viewing session. But what I am suggesting is, you know, have a look and see what's out there, because some of it, you know, is, I mean, you know, it's going to strike different people in different ways. But you know, some people are going to be disgusted by it. And what I will say is, you know, and for young children, it is going to be, you know, the idea of them watching it is going to be, as I put it on Facebook, a bitter pill to swallow. But that is in the absence of and in a vacuum and in the absence of education, that is in a worst case scenario what they're going to turn to if you don't educate them. So the better option, I would contend, is rather than having them use that as a substitute, education, substantive education.
I vividly remember my dad and I having this conversation. I must have been 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And I asked him straight out. I said, well, what's sex like? And it was interesting because he approached it two ways. First of all, very technical.
Wow.
Here's what happens, mm-hmm. and we're going to laugh at this, but he actually drew pictures.
Okay.
He said, here's what happens. Sperm goes in, fertilizes the egg, baby comes out.
Oh, so he didn't draw pictures of two people?
No.
No.
No, 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 just, but no, he said this.
Aww.
Is, so he did that.
I mean,
that.
I don't know why I'm but, sad but that then, your dad didn't draw naked
but then
people.
But then he also said, he goes, look, there's also the emotional component mm-hmm. of what this means. You're attracted, you fall in love. You know, there's the whole progression of what leads up to, you know, a sexual encounter. And he said, you know, it's great. It's scary. And you also have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty interesting because it was a two-pronged approach to sex. So even before I had sex ed in eighth grade, I'd have to say, for lack of a better way of putting it, I was armed and ready to.
Right, you felt equipped.
Yeah,
and you know what, Rob? What's so interesting about that is, I mean, I think first and foremost, I mean, he assessed whether or not you were ready for that, and that's sort of between, you know, you and him as father and son.
I think the direct question was a pretty good indication.
Right, what's it like?
Just ready to have the conversation.
Yeah.
Well, sure, that's one, but I mean, and he also felt comfortable. You know, he felt comfortable discussing that with you too, but. So there is that. But, you know, and I think in retrospect, too, you know, it sounds to me like you didn't have a problem with, you know, in retrospect, looking back on it, you know, I think that you, tell me if I'm wrong, but do you think that he took a level-headed approach? Do you think there was anything wrong with the approach that he took?
No, not at all.
And I happen to agree with it, you know, and it sounds to me, so you said you were 12.
About 12, 13, somewhere
you know, so and you were capable of handling it, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, I think. Absolutely. Oh, I think that 12. I think even nowadays, because of the access to internet information and porn now, that you know, 10. I think 9, 10 years old.
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, I snuck a peek at you know the dirty mags. I mean, you know, it's just what you do.
It's all about the dirty mags.
That's
back right.
then. That's all you had.
But you know,
VHS tapes, maybe.
And
yeah, and find them in the ceiling tile.
So, I think that that's great, and not only that, but then of course you had formal, you know, education in eighth grade, and the issue that I have is that some, you know, in some areas, in some districts, no matter where we're talking about, some children are not getting that, you know, what you had with your father or, you know, what you had in eighth grade.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to that point a little bit. I remember eighth grade sex ed class because I never got the talk. There was never a point where that was actually brought to me. So I guess I was never as proactive about it. I mean, I knew what sex was kind of. I kind of had a familiarity with it. But I remember in class thinking I was way behind everybody else. When everyone else was learning stuff.
No, me too. No.
And like and they were talking about it. I started to look around like, wait, you guys all seem to not. This is a big deal.
There was a girl in my, I won't give the name this time. There was a girl in high school who had a pregnancy scare, and they were talking about whether or not she was going to go have an abortion. And I was like, why? I mean, I couldn't, well, you did, well, who,
yeah.
What? You guys,
exactly.
You,
why
but
would
you're
do
dating,
that?
But you and yeah. You guys, what? It's like, I was a
exactly.
Sophomore in high school, and I couldn't believe that people, I'm like, what? I'm mm-hmm. sorry. I'm still waiting to get a kiss. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Rob Martyr, done with the news for the week. He's doing the weekend wind-up with us and hanging out a little extra and sharing some wonderful cocktails from Howls & Hood. Nick has whipped up some London Mules, part of their new spring cocktail menu. What's the most popular thing so far? Is it this? Because it's so good.
I think I made 500 today. I was
so that's a yes.
Oh yeah,
it is spectacular.
Oh yeah, they're moving. The mules are moving.
The mules. I can't do the noise of a mule, but I'm not going to try.
What does a mule sound like?
It brays. It doesn't.
Yeah, like Peter Griffin. Yeah,
but can we all agree though that Howells and Hood here on the side of Tribune Tower mm-hmm. has got one of the best patios.
Oh, it's so good, Michigan
Avenue. I'm drooling, ready for it to open. You know what I mean?
Please. Plus, you do get Blackhawks players out there.
Oh, yeah. We get a bunch. Yeah. Steve Harvey comes through every now and then.
There you go. Charles Turk also joins us. Dr. Charles Turk. He's our pharmacist expert and the CEO and co-founder of Scientia CME, a continuing medical education company. Go to scientiacme.org.
It is indeed.
I thought so. We lost our caller. We were going to get to her. She wanted us to talk about talking to your daughters.
Yeah, no, Brandy had a call. I had an interesting point. She said that she also had to talk to her daughter because girls are also going to see porn. And she had to tell her daughter that's not how women act. That's not like all
what's
this
expected
is not what's expected of
that's
you.
That's not what's expected of you.
I would say this is an important component that, I mean, it's a huge piece. It's actually a big part of how this topic came up. And I would say we haven't even really gotten to it.
Yeah, we're mostly, I mean, and here's the thing. So when you do have your sex ed class, what comes up clinically is you're going to get your period. You have to protect yourself against unwanted pregnancy. And for the boys, it's like you're going to have an erection. You're going to have wet dreams. It's all the fun stuff. You're going to have wet dreams. You're gonna get excited. You're going to, you know, you're going to be in class and you're going to kind of embarrass. But for girls, you're going to not want to wear white that day.
Oh, you're going to want to ride in the back of the bus.
It's all bad for the girls.
Oh, by the way.
And sex hurts.
Only 23 states mandate sex ed at all. 13 require it to be medically accurate.
Interesting.
By the way.
Oh, I did not know
so,
that.
So we're kind of entitled up here in Illinois, just saying. So, yeah, if you think that everybody's getting sex ed,
okay, so
don't.
I had pulled up to you, and I had read this letter when it came out from Griffin's teacher. His fourth grade teacher had sent us a letter. She decided to take it upon herself to do the talk, even though she hadn't sent out a letter saying, heads up, She did more of a by the way. And some of the things that she talked about was mostly like how the roles of boys and girls change as you start to enter puberty. I told them how boys view girls and girls view boys and other variants of that. I don't know what variants of that are. Oh, I see what other variants are. Is it girls on girls and boys and boys? I don't know what variants are, but that's my assumption. It will all start to change. It's important to understand that how you treat the members of the opposite sex will be different now and as you grow than when you were younger. Does that make sense, Craig? Is that that's how she taught them sex ed?
Got it. That's
yes.
Perfect.
It sounds like it was completely, she was totally prepared for this.
What does that have to do with sex?
I know. They're becoming more aware of the opposite sex and developing crushes, which is normal and okay. The trick is how you respond to those feelings. As a boy, pestering a girl is no longer appropriate. The girls now just talk in small clusters about the boys. Hitting and roughhousing is no longer appropriate. If you are going to do that, make sure you ask the person if they are comfortable with that. I'm sorry. What?
Hey, Nick, are you comfortable if I punch you in the shoulder after the Hawks score a goal?
Hey, go ahead.
All right, good.
Are you comfortable if I slap you on the ass?
Wow.
That's a scripted.
Yeah, you know. It goes on and on. And I just and look, at least she took it. A lot of parents were grateful that she started the conversation. I would have just liked to know that day that the conversation was sort of going to happen in a very sort of just not an articulated way. I don't know what my version was going to be, but at least I would know he was going to come home with some information. He did come home completely confused and also a little angry that she used generalizations, because he's like, I never roughhouse, mommy. I don't even know why she said that. I've never done that. Yes, Charles, you were going to say something?
Well, yeah, there's a so this Peggy Orenstein, New
Charles,
York Times.
Can I put a pause?
Yes.
You know why? I've totally missed. I've been applauded lately for being on time, and I'm going to get in trouble now. You are listening pretty late. We've said goodnight. Say goodnight, Rob. Before you, goodnight, Rob Martier. He's heading out. You know why, Craig?
He's got four kids.
He's got four kids.
He's got to go take a visit.
He's got to go take
some
care
toys.
Of
some toys, too.
Yeah. We never asked him how that paring down the toys went.
Yeah, no.
Remember he was going to try to get rid of some of the toys in the house?
You just hide them, right? Like with my cat. I just hide toys that I don't want her to play with anymore.
I'm going through this right now with Griffin has a lot of nostalgia, and there are things that we're like, can we just move it down to the basement? And then hopefully that means just closer to the, yeah. To the back door. We've been talking about, an article that I saw in Salon. You can go to salon.com for a lot of interesting pieces. Maybe it's, maybe there's something that is appealing to you. But there was an article about the fact that we have lowered the bar for girls. We talk more about victimization than we do about girl pleasure, than when girls are studying or when they're taught sex education. They're told, you know, these are the horrible things that will happen to you. And they're not told, they're not. And how do you explain that this is also for pleasure? Should that be part of sex ed? Is that what boys are taught, or is that what boys assume? Is that it's going to feel, because they want it, right? And girls are kind of like, I don't know, it seems a little icky.
Until they're
is how 30, they're taught.
When they're 30, they want it, you know?
Well, the girls do. Right, they've moved past all the stigma and all the obstacles.
Breaking the ice, that's the way they, yeah, that's definitely the way they.
Yeah, isn't it that boys are gonna, it's pleasurable and you know, it's okay to touch yourself? Is that something that comes up, that it's okay to do that? We were talking about Jocelyn Elders, who was the temporary, she was appointed the health, what was it called, the Surgeon General by President Clinton, and did not pass the nomination because she encouraged masturbation as a part of sexual education. And I don't know that we do that. Charles is mentioning that there's only 23 states that.
Yeah, no, I don't remember any coverage of masturbation in my sex ed class. And I do remember both my grandmother and my mother telling me the horrible things that would happen if one masturbated, like you'd go blind. Have different.
How many fingers am I holding up?
I have no idea. None whatsoever. I've gotten completely blind. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, so you get information from whoever's willing to offer it. And in this case, for me, a lot of my classmates would make jokes
right.
and stuff. So I knew that maybe some of them didn't agree with my mom and grandmother and school. But other than that, I didn't learn from anywhere else.
Nobody I knew. I had nothing to base my experiences on. None of my friends. No one talked about that kind of stuff. None of us. Not a single. Boys, Charles, Nick, Craig.
I think like you know, like old school, and it comes into like religion and Christianity and stuff, is like, you know, you don't masturbate. You know what I mean? So maybe that ties into like something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, that you're not supposed to, somehow.
Yeah, no, but I think little boys, and certainly at a certain age, maybe not little is the right term, but there's an age where we all make sexual jokes. And so, you know, that's a very immature kind of thing. And I learned from those jokes that my friends were making that some of this stuff might be pretty normal to a lot of them.
Well, that must be at least somewhat comforting.
Right, yeah, and I think that's different between boys and girls. I think boys do tend to make those kind of jokes with each other at a much younger age than girls would if they even ever do it. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a broader question. And so, I mean, I think, you know, pleasure is one aspect. And I think that nobody should be discouraged from, you know, from asking questions about that in the context of sex education. But there was a question, I think, from a caller who that wasn't answered earlier.
Right.
And that was, how do I talk to my, it was a mother. How do I talk to my daughter about you know, what do I talk to her about when it comes to sex, when it comes to sex education? How do I talk to her about that? And that's, I think, an important question that that goes unanswered for so many mothers to their daughters. And that was something that was answered by this author, Peggy Ornstein, in this article. When did porn become sex education?
Right.
And she had insight about that and talked about this this 2010 study that was published in the International Journal of Sexual Health that compared the Dutch to Americans. And it talked about the differences in cultures. And so what they found was, it was very striking. They found that when they compared Dutch parents to Americans, well, first of all, they found some, you know, they took very, very similar, two very similar colleges, American and Dutch, and they found very different results. And what they found with Dutch parents was that they talked to Dutch mothers, well, Dutch mothers and fathers, but they talked to their daughters starting at a very early age about both joy and responsibility. And as a result, one Dutch woman said she told her mother immediately after she first had intercourse, and that my friend's I guess she, her mother asked her how it was and if she had an orgasm and if, and it, I guess,
wow.
Yeah, it, I mean, so there was
this very frank conversation, obviously.
It was, but, you know, importantly too, they talked to them about sex and put an emphasis on pleasure and, the importance of mutual trust and even love. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that is the emphasis. It's a holistic approach.
Right.
And that's kind of what's missing.
I do think it's missing because it is, again, when we talk about whether or not, when I mentioned that we should talk about whether there's pleasure and if she's asking those kinds of questions, it's, you know, because girls often feel like they have to do something so that the boys will like them. But yourself?
Or do they love them?
Right. And that's what they think. They think if I do this, he'll spend time with me. There was another article that Charles sent to me about growing up in Pornland. And this is out of Australia. Mm-hmm. And that girls have had it with porn conditioned boys. And these girls are saying that if they just do whatever the boy wants, then maybe he'll settle down and watch a movie with them. Or he'll say, if you do this for me, I'll give you a kiss. Right, because that's a sign of affection. The girls want affection, and the boys want all the rest of it. And I don't even know what the scope of that might be. I know it's hard.
I think like porn doesn't teach being a romantic,
right?
And the love part about it. You know what I mean? And like
it shows
a physical thing, but there's that element of love, and there's that element of being a romantic, and all of that. And I think maybe you know all this World Wide Web and Pornhub and whatever, and you know, maybe the men out there, the younger generation, are losing that.
Well, but
that's a lot of fun. I did a lot of that when I was a kid. You know, I like being a romantic. You know, making you know.
Wait, did you always
special mixtapes with music?
Aww.
And you know all that stuff and prom and you know. I mean,
where were you when I was in high school? I dated a boy, let's call him Jason because that was his name. We were dating, but he wouldn't go to prom with me because he knew I wouldn't put out. And he went with let's call the other girl. Well, I shouldn't say her name because that's too many dots to connect. But she would, and he knew that. And you know what? It wasn't enough for me. I was like, okay, well then I guess I don't get to go to prom with you because that's not going to happen. And I didn't know any romantic boys. I mean, I didn't. At least they weren't. Maybe because I was too much of a tomboy, I wasn't appealing to them. But yeah.
Well, another thing that I'm thinking about. What we're teaching kids today, everyone also has a phone. They also have a phone.
Yes.
Almost all the kids at a certain age have a physical device that can take a photo. And if you're seeing a lot of images on the internet, if you're seeing videos on the internet, it seems that I think what the article was saying is that you start to demand that of the little girls. So these kids that don't even really probably fully understand what they're doing or asking for are demanding it from other people, and they're providing some of these images and things through their phones that they really shouldn't be engaging in.
Right.
And that's confusing the culture even more when that sort of thing is being exchanged and demanded.
You're right, Craig. And that's why, I mean, I think our natural impulse as a society might one time have been more censorship. And what I would say is that even if you try to do that, it's a fool's errand. You're never going to crack down on it completely, you know, regardless of how you feel about, you know, First Amendment issues. Even if you revoked the First Amendment, it's, you know, it's just not going to happen. You can't crack down on it. You know, the only way to combat this really is by taking a proactive approach as far as being positively educational. It's time for us to really step up, I'm getting at.
And I think this would be, Melissa Dupre has mentioned this as sex positive, of not making people feel ashamed. In this particular, right now we're talking about kids, that there isn't shame in being curious and wanting to find pleasure. It's just, when is it appropriate? When are you being safe? When are you taking care of yourself and not demanding things that are inappropriate?
And it's different because that curiosity, they can find answers so much faster, you know, this generation, you know, it's just the World Wide Web and if you let them
find answers somewhere else, is that something you're, you know, willing to live with, where they find outside of their family, outside of the people that love them and want to look out for them? Well, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Craig's like, how's that Moscow Mule?
Yeah, Moscow Mule's delicious.
Yeah, I was, even this article that Charles sent me, these girls they've seen 50 Shades of Grey, and they want to know if he slaps me, does that mean he likes me?
Oh, this stuff is, it's really, really heavy, and it can be really disheartening. I mean, the way it puts certain things, I mean, so a 2012... research, you know, it says, you know, it talks about it in very academic terms, saying that, you know, it talks about conditioning and how what, you know, early viewing of pornography will do is it will lead them, you know, adolescents and young teens to accept male dominance and female submission accept women as sexual playthings and that kind of thing. That, you know, so we can accept that as academic terms, and that's, you know, that's in the abstract. But then when it starts getting into quotes, you know, that really, you know, hits it home in a different way. You know, and these quotes are fairly explicit. These are adolescents and teens saying these things.
Right.
And again, it's very objectifying, and it's very emotionally detached. And, you know, the question is that the kind of society that we want for our children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a good point. And when he's talking about the quotes, these are some of the comments that girls are making. I can't read any of them on the air because it's the sorts of favors that boys are asking of them. But when asked what messages would they like passed on to boys, the messages include things, and in quotes, stop telling us we are, stop commenting on our bodies, stop demanding pictures, rape jokes are never funny, and sex before the age of consent is illegal. Those are some of the messages they want to get to boys. And if these are young girls that are saying that they're already aware of, and the thing is that they're admitting that they'll go along with something because they like a boy and they think, if I do this, then I'll you know, he'll hang out with me, he'll watch this movie, he'll give me a kiss, he'll hold my hand, he'll, you know, he'll be my boyfriend.
And as you well know, that's a recipe for disaster, because
I do know. I do know, actually.
Well, I mean, many of us know. Because
I ended
that.
Up dating Jason on and off for 7 years.
Well, how often do we see that play out? Either in our own lives, you know, ending in failure, or in the lives of friends, or, you know, I mean, how often do we see that end in failure? And then, you know, cycles of depression and, you know, in some cases, suicide, the fact is unhappiness, in misery. So, in any case, you know, is that the kind of, is that what we want, or can there be an alternative, you know, and can we provide people a more enlightened and sex positive, approach?
Craig, I just realized we have started and ended our week in two totally different conversations.
Oh, about sex. Two totally different conversations.
Interesting.
Same topic, really different
wildly
coverage.
Wildly different.
Yeah.
I kind of love that we did that.
I know.
It wasn't even by design.
No.
I kind of love that.
Right.
Hey, Craig, we don't really know what we're doing for the wake-up call.
We really don't have a plan on that.
I don't. Mm-hmm. Charles, Nick, do you have anyone you need to wake up at 2 in the morning? Laura, anyone in your life you'd like to bother right now and leave a
Absolutely
voicemail?
Absolutely not.
Wow, that was a hard no from Laura Vaughn.
I don't know. I just want to wake everybody up. Nobody deserves to sleep in on Saturday morning.
Well, we can't randomly call somebody. Can we randomly call somebody?
Can we?
No, we really need
call Jimmy DeCastro.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, no, let's see another idea. More after this on 720. Thank you, Laura Vaughn. More after this. I'm kind of excited about this wake-up call. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Laura Vaughn, we have a new segment now where we give a wake-up call. And maybe they have to wake up, maybe they don't. Well, we'll find out. And sometimes we get the voicemail, which is kind of fun. We give them a rundown of what the show is like. So that's our new segment.
Cool.
The Pretty Late Wake-Up Call. And we are calling our very good friend of the show, James Vickery, because every time he's on the show, we call his wife, Kristen McAllister. So I think the turnaround is fair play. Here we go. I wonder if he'll recognize the... I don't think we've ever called him before. Have we called him?
I think we have
a
couple
maybe.
Times.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know if he's working this weekend or not.
I don't know if he would save the phone number.
Zany's is a... he was there last week, by the way, so I'm not sure. Maybe he's asleep already.
If it goes to his number, I will put it on hold.
You can James at 313.
Ah, there it is. There we go. What was that? We can't do it on the air. And that should be.
And give us a second, and probably it's over.
Okay.
And there we go. Beep.
Hey, James Vickery. It's Patty Vasquez.
And Craig Collins.
And over here we have
Nick Summers and Charles Turk.
Yep. And up in news.
Up in news.
Laura Vaughn.
Hey, James. We thought we'd give you a little wake-up call, but
morning.
Since you're not there. Yeah, good morning. What are you up to?
Yeah, what are you doing?
When it rings like that, does that mean it's on silent? Or because if it's on.
Yeah,
that means...
no, I heard some kind of rule. If it's like three rings or less, it's probably on silent or something. And then if it's all the rings, it's probably ringing.
And if it's just one ring, they denied
it's
it.
Off
they,
yeah.
No, they rejected it.
Us. Yeah, you're right.
James, what's up with those rings, man?
Yeah, come on, James.
Why is your microphone all the way over there? You can bring it back.
James, what's up with my microphone being over there, man?
How do we want to give James a recap of what we did?
Yeah, we had a wonderful show tonight. We started out, we started about doing keg stands, as a matter
we
of fact.
We talked about keg stands.
And beer bongs. I'm more
of
a beer bonger. Craig's more of a keg stander. Nick, have you ever keg stand?
I keg standed a beer bong one time.
I'm sorry, what happened?
That sounds amazing.
Why?
I am so proud.
What was the point of being upside down while consuming quick amounts of booze?
And how did the beer all stay in the bong?
Yes. Well, I was 12. I didn't know what I was doing. No,
whoa! I was going to say.
To college.
I was hoping as well.
No, to college.
We didn't ask Laura Vaughn. Have you ever done a keg stand?
Never, no.
No. All right. Just checking. Okay. I'm going to wager a guess that James also has never done a keg stand.
I think James Vickery has definitely done a keg stand.
I don't think he
at
has.
Least
no.
One time,
I'm going to say no
sure.
on that. No.
I don't know why no one does keg stands. Elton Jim's probably done at least a couple keg stands.
I don't know about that.
He did one the other day at Elton Jim concert.
Nick, was it a bet that you did a keg stand? Is that why?
No, I just wanted to.
You just wanted to. All right, just want to prove you could.
Yeah.
Well, after we talked about keg stands, we talked to the owner of Elevel, which is a new medical marijuana dispensary in Highland Park. And there's a lot of information out there. If you need medical marijona, we're just not sure where to find it.
We're not exactly sure.
It's not that easy to find all that information.
No.
Jim, Elton Jim joins us live in the Allstate Showcase studio. He's filling in for Matt Bubala.
Hello, hello. I'm sitting here next to my Moscow Mule cup.
Hey, oh, yeah. Do you need some Moscow Mule? We have a bartender.
I hate to sound trendy, but I love a good mule.
Oh, can we get? Do we have enough for a Moscow Mule?
Yeah, I might.
Are you muled out?
I might be out of gas.
Oh no!
I should have worn an ascot.
Kind of alcohol. We have other alcohol.
I have a little bit of Black Jameson over here.
I beg your pardon. Is it on WVON or no? Is that on WGN?
By the way, we are not leaving a voicemail for James Vickery. You're on a voicemail right now. So say hi to James Vickery.
Oh, hello, sir.
Have you ever done a keg stand, Jim?
Of course.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I'm trying to rattle it.
Do you want to finish? You can finish mine.
No, I just wanted to rattle the ice.
Is it too sad if I give you the rest of mine? It's very tasty.
I've heard about the germs. No, I'm fine.
I know. It's not backwash. I don't spit when I drink.
Water's warm.
Sorry. Replay your message.
Oh, there you go.
Are we done?
Wow.
Market urgent.
Well, that's a surreal.
This is an emergency.
Yes.
That's going to be a surreal message when he pulls that one up.
They are every time. This is what we do every night now. We leave a voicemail for whoever.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Very We're actually good. Having a lot of fun with it. What is coming
well,
up?
Well, you're
your
drunk.
Show?
That's why.
I am not. Are we?
It won't take people. It doesn't take much for you to have fun at this point. Oh, really? You're having fun? That's
every
a surprise.
Every night.
There's an empty bottle of Jameson's in the other room. I don't know how that one got killed. And then she tells me, oh, by the way, I'm having fun. Really?
Yes, yes, I am.
I thought that other bottle was a vase.
Yes, it was.
It is now.
It is. Why was he in our office?
That's a really good question. I don't know where Jim works.
I'm like, wait a minute, where's the other? Oh, I know where the other one is. What's coming up on your show tonight, sir?
Well, we're going to have some fun.
Like ours?
Yeah, we're going to talk a little pop culture-ish stuff. We're going to talk about, obviously, you know, we got baseball coming up and the Blackhawks coming up with
well, who's
playoffs.
What's your team?
Oh, I was born 5 miles from Wrigley.
How are you feeling?
Well, I'll tell you, this is the first time in my lifetime, which has been pretty long here, I can't believe I'm saying this. The Cubs really have a legitimate, this is not just Kool-Aid drinking.
Or a London Mule.
Yeah, or yes. Mules. I mean, the Cubs really.
I know.
And to even say that.
Why do you sound so surprised? Oh, because it's the
because
first time.
It's been 107 years.
But it's the first time at the beginning of a season you feel like we're not already mathematically eliminated.
And there's always this, you know, preseason hyperbole, and they're going to be good, and they're going to be good. But they really are good.
Well, they came very close.
Well, yeah.
They were in the top four, my friend.
Now, granted, everybody
they were
has
one game away from the World Series.
Yeah, well, not one game.
Well,
one
several
series.
Games.
Yeah, they were several.
They
games
lost
away.
A game, but and that was the end of it.
But I mean, hey, everybody has to have a good season like they did last year. But in terms of on paper, they have gotten better than they were last year. They've mm-hmm. got a top notch.
Are they all doing Pilates now? Because I think that's really working out for our area.
Yeah, it's a really good call. Yeah,
I think they all look very stretched.
Mm-hmm. Hot yoga.
Yeah, they're doing a little descending dog.